the morning watch. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. And good morning, shut-in friends. Once again with our theme song, Precious Name, in the words of the psalmist David, we greet you, and are happy indeed for the privilege of slipping around your way to begin a new day in service to him. Well, it's time for us to get the old gospel chariot out and slip around to see some of our friends. But instead of making our custom call around to see three or four of you and reading your letters, we have some very distinguished guests here in the gospel chariot this morning, and we're going to speak to all of you and sing for all of you this morning. And while you're guessing who's going to be our guest, I'm going to ask the Crusaders Quartet to come to the microphone and sing a line of that beautiful old song, Rock of Ages, favorite of thousands. And here are the boys. Take it away. Thank you, boys. And now, shut-ins, it's time for you to meet our guests this morning. I see all those big question marks now in your faces. You're wondering who we have in the old chariot. Well, it's Chaplain and Mrs. Edward L.R. Elson. And Chaplain Elson is the highest-ranking officer of the some 60 chaplains that Asbury now has serving her country. He is division chaplain of the 75th Infantry at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Lieutenant Colonel Edward L.R. Elson will speak to you now. Here he is.
He giveth quietness. These words are from the book of Job. They come from the lips of Elihu, who reproves Job for his self-righteousness and impatience, and his friends for their bigotry. Job, who, having lost his property, his home, his cattle, his family, and being desperately ill himself, although taunted and ridiculed by his friends, could say at last, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He was talking about God, for he had learned the truth of these words. He giveth quietness. How difficult it is for us to be quiet. With all our mufflers and silent motors, modern life is still a noisy affair. It is cluttered with gadgets and things. And today we have the clash and clamor and tumult of war. At home, the woman hears and sees her pots and pans. If her tranquility is not disturbed by the clamor of children, it is intruded by the agent at the front door and the iceman at the rear, to say nothing of the invasion of the radio and the telephone. And the man at his work is constantly in a bath of noise. He is caught in the clash and clamor of things. At time, his jaded nerves are almost unraveled. He rushes hither and yon only to watch everybody else keep on rushing hither and yon. And if his estate is the estate of many these days, pressed by the war effort, he is the more upset. The officer and the soldier, the employee in war industry, is constantly under tension. How these men need the quietness of God, and how greatly is the need of all of us for the quietness of God. And the youth full of vitality and ambition who knows how to jazz his music and syncopate his thinking needs the gift of God's quietness. Our homes need this characteristic also, for far too often they are only the places to which we go to get ready to go some other place. Our homes need to be refined with the quietness of God until they are the sanctuary of peace and love. There are times when we need to read and act under the words of this ancient wise man. There are people who get on our nerves. There are situations which push us and put us on edge and make us jumpy. We become touchy and tense. If this does not let up, we say to ourselves, I will scream. Something makes us so incensed we are ready to explode. Our life crashes in about us and we become sour within, full of poison. Then it is we need to breathe new air. We need a new ventilating system for the earthly home of our soul. We need the atmosphere of God's quietness. Or again, there are those seasons when we feel as though we are split into fragments, when life is inharmonious and disorganized. Our mind wants to go in all directions at once. We are in a muddle. Right and wrong bid for supremacy. We are tempted to say and do things that would pain others and for which later we are sorry. Our mood oscillates from deep despair to buoyant hope. We know how it feels to be sullen and glum. We are restless and nervous. There is a friend and an alien within us. We say, we are not ourselves today. Something is wrong. We have not paused to find the focus of life. There is no center around which we are organized. We need the quietness of God. This condition of uneasiness, of worry, of fear, of defeat is symptomatic of atheism. At least that is what is implied by the converse of this text. It is God who gives quietness. He gives quietness. The soul that prays, that breathes the atmosphere of infinite love and grace, is the soul possessed of serenity and poise. Horatius Bonar knew the source of quietness when he prayed, "Calm me, O God, and keep me calm, soft resting on thy breast. Soothe me with holy hymn and psalm and bid my spirit rest. Yes, keep me calm, though loud and rude the sounds my ear that greet. Calm in the closet's solitude, calm in the hustling street. Calm in the hour of buoyant health, calm in the hour of pain. Calm in poverty or wealth, calm in my loss or gain." John Wesley it was who said, "I have much work to do today. I must pray 3 hours." And Dr. E. Stanley Jones, greatest contemporary Christian spokesman and alumnus of this institution, formed while a student here the habit of 2 hours of prayer each day. One of the saints of the church demanded of the initiates of his order the ability to concentrate 30 hours in prayer. Yes, the truly great souls have discovered it, that it is he who giveth quietness. Said George MacDonald, "I do not know where or how it may please God to give you the quiet of mind that you need, But I tell you, I believe it is to be had. And in the meantime, you must go on doing your work, trusting in God, even for this. Tell him to look at your sorrow. Ask him to come and put it right. Make joy go up in your heart by his presence. If George MacDonald could hold that conviction, if he could live under that sustaining faith and be upheld by this power, so can we. It is the gift of God. He giveth quietness. It is in the solitary calmness we find God real. Be still and know that I am God, says the ancient hymn. Therefore, my friends, let us quiet ourselves in his presence. We think of him, and in the light of his presence, our tangled and fragmentary lives are amalgamated. We contemplate his love, and our inflamed emotions are stilled. We consider his sacrifice, and our pugnacity subsides. We release ourselves in him, rest our cares upon him, and learn that he is the great burden bearer and the source of all our strength. How shall I quiet my heart? How shall I keep it still? How shall I hush its tremulous start at the tidings of good or ill? How shall I gather and hold contentment and peace and rest, wrapping their sweetness fold on fold over my troubled breast? The Spirit of God is still and gentle and mild and sweet. What time his omnipotent, glorious will guideth the worlds at his feet, controlling all lesser things, this turbulent heart of mine, he keepeth as under his folded wings, in a peace serene, divine. So shall I quiet my heart, so shall I keep it still, so shall I hush its tremulous start at the tidings of good or ill, so shall I silence my soul with a peacefulness deep and broad, so shall I gather divine control in the infinite quiet of God.
And thank you, Chaplain Elson. It is indeed a pleasure to have you with us on our broadcast this morning, and I'm sure your message has done us all good. And tomorrow morning, we'll perhaps be bringing you the voice again of Chaplain Elson. Be listening, won't you? Perhaps he'll be giving us some of his experiences. Just a line of that beautiful old song, Blessed Quietness. Joys are flowing like a river since the Comforter has come. He abides with us forever, makes the trusting heart his home. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, Jesus speaks to me as the billows cease to roll. Well, shut-ins, 1 week from today, we'll be around your way again. Our guest speaker this morning was Chaplain Edward L.R. Elson, who is Division Chaplain of the 75th Infantry Division, Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Chaplain Elson is the highest-ranking officer of the chaplaincy of Asbury's sons who are out there serving our country, holding as lieutenant colonel, and I'm sure we're going to be praying for him, aren't we? And Mrs. Elson is smiling to all of you friends and saying that she's mighty happy to be around also with her husband this morning in the old gospel chariot. And this is Byron Krause saying to you, don't forget, keep living for him, won't you?
I live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be.